our youth have taken over the entire service, and so, except for this part, and Steve. Did you all notice Steve was sitting over here? Here's the funny thing is that did Steve really stick out from the rest of the teenagers? He's a youthful heart, he's a youthful heart. Amen. And so we're glad you're here. A little bit about us. We are a 7.5-year-old church plant who has a very deep, passionate heart for the broken. You sit in the midst of a room full of people who have come through addictions and broken marriages and sexual abuse and anxieties and pill addictions, and the whole room is full of people that are being restored and set free. We like to think of ourselves as the church that doesn't give you any more excuses why not to be a church. And what I mean by that is you're not going to be judged for anything. The question is, do you really want to surrender your heart to a living God who can take your heart and change your life? And so that's why we're here. We don't like to play a lot of games and whatever that looks like, but we're very passionate about you and you being set free by Christ, who, by the way, if you're to a place where you realize that you can't help yourself anymore, you're in a very good place. Jesus can help you, and this isn't like Jesus. This is like the almighty living God who created all things and will reign with him forever in heaven, Jesus. Amen? And so so our youth this morning, here's a powerful thing about this morning, and I don't want you to miss it, is that we and Grant will come up and share, our youth guy will come up and share a majority of this, so I don't want to duplicate it, but restored parents, we've always said, have restored kids. Can I say that again? Can anybody testify in this room? Restored parents have restored kids. And so what that means is for all of our junk and baggage, we were also toting little people along with us. And sometimes, as you all know, and many of us are sitting in this room today busted because of not godly mom and dads or parenting. And so that is where a lot of our baggage came from. So from the very beginning, our heart has always been, how on earth do we do this and let all of that garbage die with us and give something better to the next generation of our kids? And so that has been our heart's desire. And all of these kids up here that will share testimonies today, and all the kids that were up here on the praise team, essentially have all been here, almost all of them, from day one. They are the church planters, families, kids, and for anybody who should be really screwed up, it's them. I'm serious. You want to talk about kids who've had to give up a lot? They, allergy check. They've had to give up a lot to be here and deal with parents that are being restored by Christ. And so the fact that they're up here and not doing what we were doing, number one, is just testimony to God. Amen. Amen. And so our heart's desire is not to treat our kids like a bunch of kids in a youth group that we check out once in a while. They are the church. And we want them to live in school and all the places they are and be on fire for Christ and live a life where they don't have to sell themselves and their stuff and their bodies to the junk that many of us bought into, who were being restored. There's grace, amen? But you don't have to take the same road. And so that's our heart's desire for our kids. You're going to hear from three very powerful young ladies this morning, and just the depth and the richness that's coming out of 11 and 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds and 16-year-olds, all of those, they're just, it'll blow your doors off. And so God is good. Amen? Amen. And so just to sit up here and watch them worship this morning and see them share, it makes all the crappy days worth it. Amen? And so this morning I'm going to have our youth guy come up. His name is Grant Mankin. Amen. When I look at Grant, all I do is hear, I see a magazine with its cover waiting to be experienced. I don't know if that makes any sense. Oh, that's good. I like that. Can you do an over-the-shoulder look? Can you do one of those? That's all you had? All right. Ladies, this is Grant, our youth guy.
Good morning. What a morning. We got to get a new spotlight up here that's for bald men, because I feel like this one is not friendly. Like a softer gel. There, that's better. That's better. I just wanted to come up here for just a second, and Rob did a really good job, but just kind of talk to you a little bit about who's up here. not individually. Not going to go through one by one and talk about their likes and dislikes, but I've been in some capacity a part of many youth groups, and in some capacity been involved in youth ministry for the better part of a decade, ever since, it's embarrassing, more than a decade. But ever since, I went to college, and all throughout college I was worked with a youth group there where I was. I graduated. I went into youth ministry full time. And I say all that to say that working with this youth group, working with these kids, it's a different kind of challenge. I think that, and I don't mean that they are more challenging, though they are, but I mean that working with restored kids, not restored kids, but with restored kids who have restored parents, it's challenging on a lot of levels, but one of the ways that it's most challenging, and I think you guys will get to see a glimpse of this, is it forces me to really make sure that I'm getting out of the way. I think in traditional youth ministry before, when I was working with big churches and doing lots of really fun things, there's a place for that, and it was great while it was there, but it was missing something. And I feel like here, I've gotten to see what was maybe missing before. Just like as a church, we challenge each other and we hold each other up to high expectations, we do that with our kids too. Our youth group, even if we had the money for Xboxes and pizza parties and stuff like that, I shouldn't say pizza parties because we'll probably have some pizza tonight, but even if we had the money for all of this, you know, walls of TVs and Xboxes and band equipment that wasn't their parents and things like that, I feel like, I say this knowing full well that we don't have that, but I feel like that those things, we would like those things to not be what's important about meeting together. When we spend time together, we have fun and we play games. But what we also do is we spend a lot of time talking about things that I was kind of uncomfortable at first talking about with middle school and high schoolers. And I think that was a challenge for me because I had to realize that my expectation of them needed to be higher. That what I expected of them wasn't something that you would expect of a high schooler or a middle schooler, but it was what you would expect of a Christ follower. And so what we do when we spend time together is we do a lot of what you guys do. We have small groups, just like our life groups. We spend time, like right now, and we've been going through the spiritual disciplines and kind of experimenting with those and trying to figure those out together. And when I say figure out those together, I mean it, because they teach us and me and the other youth sponsors just as much as we hope to teach them. And it's really amazing getting to watch them figure these things out. And so that's kind of how we got to this testimony piece. The last couple of weeks, we kind of went through testimonies. And again, it was something that right at first when I said, hey, we're going to do this. My first thought was, and we can't do this. There's no way they can understand this. There's no way that they're going to get it. There's no way that I can expect them to. That's not kind of me to do that. And then they blew my doors off. They constantly surprise me. This up here, I've seen this a lot, every week. And yet this morning, I was surprised again. And so, you know, it's one of those things where just like I have to make sure that I'm getting out of the way of what God's doing in them, I want to make sure that you guys are doing that same thing. God is going to work through whoever it is. It doesn't matter if they're 14 or 44. And I think that mentality is the only kind of mentality that's going to allow our kids to be who God wants them to be. Because if we get too caught up in wanting them to be kids, and I'm not saying we shouldn't want them to be kids, but if we get too caught up in wanting them to just be kids and having those expectations for our kids, they're not ready for this, they can't do this, then that's basically saying that God can't do it. And so just like we want to make sure that when we as adults that are dealing with adult things, just like we want to make sure that we're getting out of the way and letting God deal with those things, the same thing goes for our teenagers. Because our teenagers deal with things, and it's weird because it seems like we forget what we dealt with when we were teenagers. And they're dealing with those things. And I know that if I had had someone who had expected me and had higher expectations of me, I should say, to deal with those things, a lot of those mistakes that I made as a teenager, I might not have made them, or at least not in the same way, or at least learned quicker from them and not continuously keep making them. Mistakes are going to be made. This is not a quest to make the perfect teenagers. This is a quest to make sure that our teenagers are drawing near to God and to make sure that we are being used to do that and we are not seeing ourselves as who is doing that. So, I'm going to let the testimonies happen here in a minute, and I know that there are some nerves about what's going to happen, but I wanted real quickly to do a couple of things. I wanted to give you guys an idea of what our mission is and how that connects to what's about to happen. So as a youth ministry, as a youth group, we have a mission, and it's to arm 6th through 12th grade students with a foundation of biblical understanding, the importance of praise and worship, and a commitment to discipleship relationship. The youth will understand the profound nature of Christ's sacrifice and why they live sacrificially in order to draw near and to glorify God by going and doing. So you've gotten to see a bit of all of that this morning. You've gotten to see their understanding of worship and praise and how that fits in. And in a minute, you're going to see them going and doing. I got to do my testimony a year or so ago. And I don't necessarily have a problem talking in front of people. I have this lack of an embarrassment filter where I just don't get embarrassed. I'm not nervous about it. But I have to tell you, when I got up here to do my testimony, it was like this whole new weight on me. And I felt that, and it was so difficult. So I want you guys to remember that as these guys are up here doing this. They aren't doing this because they enjoy being in the spotlight. They're not doing this because they want you to think that they're cute. They are cute. So I tried to tell them that. We think that no matter what. But they're up here because they feel like God can use them to touch someone. And they feel like the words that they have spent time writing down or going through, praying over, that these words are going to be words that God is going to use to touch someone in this room. So as this is happening, I want you to really open your heart to that. I want you to try to not see it as, this is so neat, this is so cute, but to see it as, this is important. This is God's work happening up here. It's a fun morning, don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying this so much. But I have to continuously check myself and make sure that I'm not just enjoying it because I'm just proud of them, and I am proud of them. But I also want to make sure that I'm enjoying this because it's a powerful time for God to work. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they have defeated Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." That's what we want. We want to not love where we are and who we are so much that we're afraid to give that up. And so that's what's about to happen. That's what the testimonies are for. The testimonies are a time to defeat Satan and to remind ourselves that we're just passengers here. We're just going along. We're here to do work. We are here to go and to do. And that's what's about to happen. So, let's do this. So the first young lady who's going to come up here and share her testimony with you is Miss Chloe Hansen. Come on up here.
Okay. Hi, my name is Chloe Hansen. I'm 15. I turned 16 Friday. I've gone to church all my life. I've been going to Restored since it began 7.5 years ago. My stepdad is the worship leader, the one that looks like a high schooler. and my mom is Stephanie. She's over there. sorry. Okay, when I was younger, I had the perfect life. A mom, a dad, two sisters. But when I was about 5-ish, my mom filed for divorce. I saw my dad every other weekend, and I was miserable. A few years later, I got baptized at River Long when I was 7. I had no idea what I was doing. I just did it with my friends. So nothing really changed. After a while, when I was in 8th grade, I started seeing both of my parents and their families every other week. It was so hard, and still is, switching houses, seeing both of my parents start new families and have new kids. But I felt like my two sisters and I were stuck in the middle, not belonging anywhere. I had a lot of built-up anger towards my families, mostly my mom, and God. I was so confused why he did this to my sisters and I. My happiness came from other people like my friends, and I always tried to please them and make them like me so I could fit in. I always tried to not be home, and I was with friends all the time because being at home caused problems. When I was at church camp at the end of 8th grade, I realized that I missed when my family was normal, but I also realized that I can't change the situation, and having a bad attitude wasn't going to change anything. I didn't know how to change things, and by not doing anything, my built-up resentment and anger started getting worse. My relationship with my mom started getting really bad, and I thought that by living at one house, everything would be better. What I didn't realize was that by living at one house, I would be running away from my unresolved issues and anger. When I started serious discipleship with Felicia, she's over there. is when I really started to deal with my internal struggles and the problems with my family. I started to realize how much the anger and bitterness I felt didn't only impact my family, but also affected my relationship with God. With the help of Felicia, I started to develop a relationship with God, and by being more in the Word every day and having conversations with God and praying, I understood that he was the answer. God showed me that no one is perfect and people mess up. God also made me realize that by giving up control, I didn't have to deal with everything by myself. He's always there to help me get through everything. I've learned to let go of things that have happened in the past, and God has given me peace about everything in my life. When everyone, especially people in my family, let me down and start to fail, I know that God will always be there to stick to his promises. It is so amazing to know that God put on our chains and died so that we could have life. Looking back on everything that happened, I realized that God provides beauty in our mistakes. If my parents didn't get divorced, I wouldn't have two more amazing parents that are great role models and live their lives for Christ every day. God has shown me that through his forgiveness of my sins and my mistakes, how to forgive others. I still struggle with things like putting school before God and switching houses every week, but I still feel the anger coming back, but I recognize that is the enemy trying to get in the way. By going to Felicia and praying and reading the Bible, I understand that God is the truth and can help me overcome because he is bigger than everything I face. Through Christ, I can overcome the enemy and by handing over my life and trusting God daily.
Let's say a quick prayer. God, you just continue to humble us. God, just the willingness to come up here and share struggles and sins, God, is and it's just so amazing to be on the other side of that and to have those words come in and change us, God. God, I'm just so thankful for Chloe this morning. I'm so thankful for her willingness to submit to you and to do what you call us to do. God, I just thank you for her words. In your son's name, amen. Wow. Okay. All right, so next up to share her testimony is Mackenzie Yarnell and her cowboy boots.
I lost my voice yesterday, so I might sound a little weird. When I was first asked to do my testimony, I thought it was going to be lame because I thought a testimony was about how you met God. And growing up, I always knew God and loved Jesus and church. Then I realized that a testimony is more than that. A testimony is what God has done in your life, not necessarily how you met him. Over the last couple of years, our family has changed a lot, and God has helped me change through it. Before Callie and Kaya became my sisters and moved in, I was really desperate for attention all the time, and I was very lonely. I was always asking God for a sibling that was my age so I could spend time with them. Often I felt left out by Abby and Ari because they're so much older than me, and I never felt like I got the chance to bond with them very much because they would be spending time with each other. And then when Callie and Kaya first moved in, it took some getting used to. And it was really fun at first. And it gave me a chance to have a new experience with sisters closer to my age. After I got over getting used to having two new siblings in the house, I was really happy to have the sisters I was always praying for. But after a while, I started wishing for the seemingly greener grass on the other side. After they've been living with us for a while, God's still helping me through it, and he's helped me in being persistent with my time studying my Bible and praying. And when I do, sometimes I find something that helps me grow in him and find ways to help me get even more comfortable with Callie and Kaya. And I know that God is doing that. Also, God is working hard in my faith right now, especially in sharing my testimony. I wasn't really happy very much at first. I was really nervous. But the other night, I had a huge burst of faith during my Devo. Now I'm not as worried as I was before, and I know God's going to give me the right words to say. Because the second most important weapon against Satan, besides Jesus dying on the cross, is your testimony. Me, Callie, and Kaya tend to get along differently now. I can't exactly say better or worse, but more like sisters would. We have our conflicts, and I admit God gives me wonderful advice through my parents on how to deal with it. I find that we have gotten a lot better recently, and sometimes I still feel left out with Callie and Kaya. But I pray about it, and I try to find ways to spend time with them to help us bond as sisters. Sometimes I do wish Callie and Kaya never moved in, and that I had more privacy, and I have even run away before, but I didn't get very far, and it didn't really fix anything. But now after some time, and now that I have my own room, haven't found myself wishing that Callie and Kaya hadn't moved in for a really long time. But now I'm working with God on not being so offended when Callie and Kaya call each other their sister, because it feels like sometimes they don't think of themselves as part of our family. Although I know that was never their intention, I tend to take it the wrong way and I plan on working with God and my family to better that. I also learned about fear of man and realized that I have a lot of anxiety, and I'm learning to let God help me not worry so much. I also wanted to talk about what I feel like God's calling me to do, and I really have felt it on my heart to make a difference in the public schools and in the way that the kids there treat each other. I'm also actually planning on volunteering for a public school association where I can help teachers in their classrooms. And I want to try and encourage kids my age who are getting bullied not to get mad or offended when they're bullied, but to share the gospel with the people who are bullying them. And I plan to be an example of that and let God's love shine through me. And actually, God has already provided a way for me to do this. Miss Robin has invited Callie, Alyssa, and me to start a book club at a school where she works. Last but absolutely not least, here's some verses that have helped me grow in my faith. Ephesians 3:20 says, God is able to do far more than we could ever ask for or imagine. He does everything by his power that is working in us. And Mark 11:22-24 says, have faith in God, Jesus said. What I'm about to tell you is true. Suppose someone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea. They must not doubt in their heart. They must believe that what they will say happen. What they say will happen. Then it will be done for them. So I tell you, when you pray for something, believe that you have already received it, and then it will be yours.
God, thank you so much, again, for the willingness of Mackenzie to talk about the struggles that she's gone through, to be honest about the things that she thought and felt, and God, the recognition that those things were just Satan attacking her, God. God, I am just so thankful, because I know that this was so difficult, and I know how difficult this is, and I just am so thankful that Mackenzie was willing to have faith that you would be here this morning, and have faith that you would be here, up here with her, and telling her story. God, I am just so thankful that we were all able to hear what you're doing and what you have done in Mackenzie's life. In your son's name, amen. All right. Our last, but very much not least, testimony this morning is going to be from, you may have heard of her in previous testimony, Callie Yarnell. Oh, I think that's the first time I've ever said Callie Yarnell. Oh, that made my heart just smile a little bit. All right.
Good morning, everybody. Well, my name is Callie, if you didn't already hear. I was asked to share with my testimony with you guys, and I kind of wasn't surprised. and I was kind of scared at first, but not really anymore. So here it goes. When I was younger, my bio dad wasn't really in the picture, but I had a stepdad. He was a good dad, very, very strict, though. He was in the Army, so he moved every couple years to different states. In 2011, he moved to Texas by himself because we had just moved to Valley Center, and the rest of my family didn't want to leave. It was fine for a few months without him, but then my mom started leaving the house for long periods of time. So I was sort of the mom while she was out. It got worse for me being the mom. I got so stressed I actually started smoking. I didn't know what she was doing until my stepdad got back for vacation visit time, and he told me some of what was going on, that he was having an affair, and she started doing drugs and other stuff. It got worse over Christmas break of 2012. My mom was gone most of the week and had her friends over, and those friends she did drugs with. My stepdad had set up security cameras in the house and knew she was gone. So he called Elder Jared to come pick us up, and sort of we were trying to figure out the next move. It was kind of being planned, and the plan was that we were going to stay with the Yarnells until my mother got better, while my other family members went down to Texas to live with my stepdad, which was Alex, White, and Shelby, my younger siblings. The first night I got there, Abby and Ariana took me shopping and to Chick-fil-A. I'm going to skip about a year. my mom still wasn't getting better, and part of the deal was if she didn't get better in a certain amount of time, Yarnell's would adopt us. The same year, we were going to be homeschooled by my future mother. My mother still wasn't getting better, and so we started the adoption process. On December 22nd, 2014, my sister and I were adopted. During the process, Miss Iva, who came for the house inspection, Kaya told her that she had a butt tumor. And for me, the perspective that I have on God now is different in a very good way. When I was younger, I didn't really understand who God was at that time. Now, from living with the crazy Yarnell family, I understand because they are very good examples of godly, loving people. And by the things that God has given me, like Amber Teske, my discipler, being in youth band, having to share my testimony, having an awesome pastor, and even more things that I know will come. And my heart, where I want to go, I want to be a missionary in Mexico to share the word and do whatever I can to help out down there. And so that's the end.
So glad that the butt tumor made the final draft. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for Callie's willingness to share her struggles and her willingness to share what was going on in her life at such a young age, talk about the things that she was dealing with. God, I just pray once again that these words that were your words will be heard in a new way this morning. God, that we will really allow you to work and allow you to move. God, that we will not just see these again as things that was neat. It was really cool to see them get up there and share. But God, that we will see this as just another way that you are working. God, thank you so much. In your son's name, amen. In just a minute, I'm going to let Pastor Rob come back up here and kind of take us into the next part of this morning. But one thing that I neglected to mention earlier and that was brought up several times in testimonies, which is yet another way that God continues to work through these kids to remind me of what's important, and I hope that you guys all heard it, was how important discipleship is to even kids. I know that most of you are in a discipleship relationship, and if you're not, man, there are so many people that are willing to go through that with you. But I also think it's important that you guys understand that discipleship is discipleship. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's not a magic age. But we expect the same, as I said earlier, from our kids as we do from us. We are in discipleship relationships as adults. We expect our youth to do the same. We expect them to be in that as well, and not just because. But you heard how powerful these relationships are for these kids, and you got to hear firsthand them testifying about how important they were. And that should speak to you, and that should convict you if you are not in a discipleship relationship of how important they are and how amazing they can be, and also how challenging they are. Discipleship relationships aren't going to movies and getting your hair done together. The bald man makes a hair thing. It's always weird when I talk about getting your hair done, I know. But yeah. But a discipleship relationship is what we are called to be in. When it boils down to it, we are called to make disciples. We're called to go and to do and to teach. And that is kind of the end. There's a lot of other stuff that goes with that, but that's what it boils down to. And if that's the case, then how are we not continuing to do that? And how, after hearing these words, how can you not think, man, that's an important thing that I need to start doing. And I need to, or I am doing it and I need to take it more seriously. So, I'm pretty proud right now. Not from a youth group leader, youth shepherd standpoint. I think there's a part of me that is super proud, and I will be just of the bravery, but I'm proud to be a member of Restored after this. I'm proud to be a part of a church body that has such powerful youth and such powerful hearts of youth, that they were willingness, their willingness to get up here and not only be transparent, not only be vulnerable, but to be powerful in worship, to be powerful in prayer. And so I say all that to say, thank you for being a part of this, and thank you for being willing for this to happen. And so I hope that something that was said this morning has touched you. I hope that something that you've experienced this morning has allowed a different part of you to be touched by God. But I'm going to let Rob get back up here, but I just wanted to seems like we've prayed a lot, but I think it's appropriate to pray one more time over what was said this morning and what was done, and then Pastor Rob's going to come up here. So if you pray with me. What a morning, Father. What an opportunity to God, see you work in ways that we are not accustomed to seeing. What an opportunity to be unified as a body. So often we see the church and the youth separately. God, and I am just, it's been so amazing to see that as one, to see us as one body, to know that we are doing what you have called us to do, and though we make mistakes and we will continue to do that, that you are there and your grace is covering us, God. Getting to hear these testimonies of these kids who have gone through things that we probably didn't realize. Being parents and knowing that we are to protect our kids, and knowing that can't happen all the time, but knowing that you are there to protect them when we aren't. God, I just am beyond thankful for the opportunity and the challenges that come with getting to spend time with these kids, getting to spend time watching them grow and watching them change and being taught by them, God. God, I just thank you for the opportunity to get to listen to the testimonies and be a part of the worship and to see them in a new way, to see them do at what you've called all of us to do. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Let's hear for Mr. Grant. Well, by Restored standards, we still have another 40 minutes of service. So get out your Bibles. No, okay, I'm just kidding. Honestly, I just got a few things to add this morning. The verse we started this church with is 1 Peter 5:10, and it is the anthem of this church, and it says, "The God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will he himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." As we talk about that verse a lot in the past, the suffering part is the part that nobody wants to really talk about. But if you look at most of our lives in here, suffering is one thing we have in common in mass quantities. And the purpose of this saying that, and it for being in the scriptures, is that it's not hopelessness. Suffering doesn't mean hopeless. suffering, if you use it right, by the shining light of the gospel, is that God takes all things broken and he makes them new in Christ Jesus. So we're all going to suffer, and that's clear. I mean, I don't know if you go back to just reverse a little bit with these kids. So we have we have crazy church-planting parents that are gone all the time, and we have divorced parents, and we have step-parents, and we have drug addictions with crazy meth stuff. I mean, all the stuff was just said within three girls within 15 minutes. And this is why our kids are getting eaten and destroyed in this world, because what we heard is common. This is happening everywhere in every city, every suburb, every urban part. It's common. The point is that we as believers, are we going to take a stand and inject the gospel? And so some of you who have done, you feel like you've done a horrible job with your kids and your kids have ended up wayward and jacked up. Number one, I'm sorry. But number two, God is in control of all things. And you need to trust him, because God is, he doesn't have to go through you to fix everything. Those children belong to the Lord first and foremost. And so you be faithful. If you messed up, there's nothing wrong with you going backwards and asking the Lord for forgiveness and asking your kids for forgiveness. But you start over. You don't live in a world of guilt and condemnation trying to be their friends. So you live a life on fire for Jesus and let them see that. The rest of it, you can't do. I remember Dr. Davis, my spiritual papa, used to say when he was selling dope and stuff, his mama prayed for him every day of his life. And she told him, she's like, you know what? You can go and act like a fool. You can go and break the Lord's heart, but you know truth. You know better. I'm going to pray, and I haven't done anything except be faithful to God for you. You change, and the door is always open. And he said those words from his mama resonated in his head day after day after day after day, and eventually it broke his heart, and the Lord used that, and he came home. And so if you have wayward children in this room, hard to deal with kids, don't you for a minute give up and think that the Lord isn't going to and can't do anything. By the way, I was a 16-year-old living in a whorehouse selling dope and drinking. You think my mama didn't shed some tears? But God restores all things. Amen? And the other part of that is that, how do I say this? God is just an amazing God of healing. Amen? And so, be encouraged this morning. I don't know if somebody's testimony has touched you today, if something is tweaking in your heart. I do want to spend a minute just kind of praying over all the teenagers in the rooms, even the ones that will squirm and run. So if you're a wimp, you can run to the bathroom now. But I do want to say this, is that God restores all things that are open to him. Amen? And so our heart's desire is for our teens to live a life fueled by Jesus. And to be honest, to see my kids up here personally, like three of them this morning up here were mine. And so they were the very best looking ones you can imagine. Obviously, truth in love always covers everything, right? Thank God they have their mama. Amen. But I've spent a lot of time worried about my kids. And sometimes it's good concern, and other times it's devil-sent worry, because I'm afraid that my kids are going to hate the church because of me, because the time I dedicate to the church, my life that I've dedicated to the church, and I'm always questioning, like any other adult, you know what happens with PKs, right? Preacher's kids are like hellions, right? For the most, some of you are PKs in here, so I got to be careful, right? But here's the whole thing, is that Jen and I used to pray this thing over our kids. Every day. We would go to bed, and in our home, we had brokenness, busted marriage, and bipolar, and addictions, and stupid choices being made, anger like you would not believe. And used to pray every night over my kids that God would erase that stuff from them, that they wouldn't end up like us. And the cool thing about that is that God doesn't necessarily erase it, but God in his power uses that to make them stronger. And so do I have regrets? Yes, I have a lot of regrets, but I also have a lot more praise for God, who uses all things for the good of those who love him, who are called by his name. And so if you're a parent this morning and you're worried about your kids, just trust the Lord. Be Jesus to them. And if you need to start now and you've messed up for the last 20 years, who says it's too late to go backwards? Just take a breath. There's grace in all things. Amen. By the way, if you're a kid sitting in this room, and honestly, I can probably call out half of you who are ticked off at the world and acting like fools, let me say this. The reason why is because I believe your heart is broke. I believe your heart's broke. And I believe that people have let you down. And I believe that mom isn't what she was supposed to be. And I believe that dad isn't what he's supposed to be. Or maybe he's not even around. Or maybe he's a thug. Whatever. But none of that negates the fact that Jesus loves you more than anybody on the face of the earth. He is strong enough to fix your life. And don't you dare settle for a legacy of brokenness instead of glory for what God wants for your life. That can really happen. There are people in this room that are super, super called to step and walk by you, no matter what you've already done at your age, what people have done things to you. If I showed you in this room this morning by a show of hands how many people in this room have been physically abused or sexually abused and it changed their lives, half of this room, half of the people's hands in this room would go up. Half, if not more. Jesus heals everything and anything. Amen? And so I just want you to take that. Youth Sunday for us is just more than our kids getting up here. It's a testimony just of a part of the church that is growing and that we're very concerned with. We're not about the big program and thing like that, but we are. And like Grant said, there's nothing wrong with that, but we really want people to disciple our kids. If you are a kid and you want to be discipled, we'll find someone, a safe person to meet with you. We don't just pair you up with Joe who walks through the door. Hey, go hang out with Joe. And so we're very meticulous. If anybody ever hurt one of our kids, their pastor would be at their door breaking someone's legs in Jesus' name. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, we kind of roll like a clique. We're kind of thuggy. So anyway, and I meant that in a spiritual context. Spiritual context. But we love our kids. And so I can't wait for them to run past us someday in generations of restored. We're called to be church planters to the nations. You think not all of us are going? We're sending some mighty kids behind us. Let's just close service like this. If you have any questions, we have so many resources to love you and your family. We have a food bank and a clothes closet back here in the back that'll be open for a little bit after service. It's here every Tuesday. We have special relationships with area counselors, Christian counselors, who for very cheap or next to nothing will serve you and your family if you have brokenness or coming out of it. We have people who want to disciple you. We have people who want to put you in life groups. We have youth groups that are passionate about you and your family. And so, really, honestly, we're taking excuses away. Brokenness should not be your reason to stay away from God's church. Amen? You need the church more than you know. But here's what I like to do. If I just want you to find, I'm going to pray, and then I just want you to find the available and open teenagers, preteen. If you're a middle schooler or a high schooler and aren't deathly afraid right now, raise your hand. Like, raise your hand high. Yeah, you can't be deathly. Raise your hands before I do. Walk over there. Snap the side of your head off, bro. All right, we just want to come around. I want all of you guys to, if you need to leave, leave after I pray. But for those of you, if you just come around them and just pray strength and blessing over them, just you guys. I don't need to do it. Be the body. And by the way, it is awesome that when we have a Sunday, when we come to support our youth, everybody shows up and loves on these guys. Amen? Amen. We are what I call bringing family back in a Jesus way. Amen? So let's pray, and then I'm going to let you get after these kids and track them down and pray for them. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these gifts. Number one is as parents. Lord Jesus, we thank you. This is the cool thing about here is that in this place, there is no difference between an adopted parent and a biological parent and a step-parent and all of that stuff. Lord, those are things that you have, Lord Jesus, that were not set up, Lord, in your kingdom. What is true are men and women who have a heart for the Lord, who want to jump in and father and mother children that they have a love for through you. And so, Lord, we thank you that in this room, adoption isn't a bad word. Step-parents don't have to be a bad word. And busted kids don't have to be just another percentage of systems in this country, Lord Jesus. Lord, the real answer for brokenness and fatherlessness in this country is the church. And God, we sign ourselves up without question, Lord, to be a part of the answer and not just to be about a bunch of whiny believers not doing anything about it. God, you send us. You send them here. And so, Lord, we pray. Thanks for them as parents, spiritual and or biological. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the testimonies we heard today, Father God, that have shaken the gates of hell, we believe, Lord Jesus, by the power of the gospel, that these three kids, which represent another 20 of them, Lord Jesus, will not just be another stat, will not just be another number, will not just be a bunch of kids who were teenagers and got to act like hellions because they were so. Lord, these are men and women of yours who you love, who you created, who you have given purpose, who are full with your Holy Spirit, and are going to change the nations. So, Lord, we thank you for them as a church. Lord, we pray that this next generation, who is this generation, Lord Jesus, would go far beyond us. It is an honor to be their stepping stones. And Lord, we are so proud of them. So Lord, we know that heaven rejoices today. Lord, we know that there are other men and women in this room this morning, young men and women, who are either living in rebellion, Lord Jesus, that are halfway through the part of their testimony where they hit their knees and bow to your lordship. Lord, I am so sorry for their broken hearts. I'm so sorry for their fatherlessness. I'm so sorry for the addictions of their parents. I'm so sorry for the mental illness of their family. But Lord, you are greater, and you can save every single one of them. God, please touch them today. Lord, we love you. Thank you for today, and what a blessing it is. We ask this all in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Get around.